Hello, and welcome to New Hope Christian Fellowship with Pastor John Gilbert.
Was from the letter to the Philippians. I was in a church once, and I read from the letter to the Philippians, and I said to the people, can you turn to chapter 2 of the Philippians? Yes. And then people started laughing. You didn't get it, did you? You're very slow. So we read a few verses from the Philippians. And we read from, hello David, we read from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 19. We're going to go back to Matthew. The reason why I've chosen this passage this morning is because a couple of weeks ago, I was with Mia, we did some evangelism in the street, on the town. And, you know, you might come one day, you wonder, you look at me, look at Dominic, look at Liam. You might come over with a load of fear. You might think, oh no, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I fit in or some. All these thoughts go through your head. And that day, 2 weeks ago, I preached a message, and it was about 5 or 6 minutes long. And I wrote it down on my Bible, my message. Liam was trying to read it yesterday. But what I decided to do, you know, people see that we believe in Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. They don't understand Jesus. And the title of the message this morning, Jesus says, whom say ye that I am? And that is a good question. And he asked that question. And he wants a response. He wants a response from us, from you. He wants to know what you think about him. That's okay to ask that. I'd like to know what you think about me. I'd like to know what you think about David Peel. Anyway, but what he did, just pray, Lord, we do commit this time to you and ask your blessing on this hour in Jesus' name. Amen. So he knew who he was. He knew where he come from and he knew where he was going. But you imagine being somebody like us, old Big Dave's out there trying to get in. It's nice to see him. There we go. All right, Dave. So, he knows that all of us, whether we're Margie, or whether we're Leo, or anyone, he knows there's a thought process going on in our mind, trying to establish and trying to understand who he is. It's very important. So what he did, he took his disciples on a retreat. And, you know, I'm amazed when I consider the Lord was here for 33 years. Now, when you know you've only got so much time to live on earth, and let's face it, he only started his ministry at the age of 30. So in 3 years, this is going to be the most condensed Bible study school in the whole of the history of mankind, because he's chosen 12 men to share everything with. And I'm amazed that the Lord found the time with such a busy schedule in that last 3 years. You know, he used to take long journeys to meet the needs of people. He got involved with people that pressed him. You know, when he went down to the town centre, maybe in Jerusalem or Capernaum or Bethany or wherever, people pressed in. Among very close, like the lady who wanted that healing and wanted to touch the hem of his garment. You know the passage, you know the scripture. There were many people around Jesus Christ. And they pressed in and they stared at him and they would question him. He would debate with people. He would debate with critical people. He would debate with difficult people. Many people wanted to see him. Many people wanted to be near him. And he got tired. He got so tired that he had to sit down, like you lot, taking it easy, having a rest on a chair. He sat at a well. He was tired. He asked the lady to give him a drink because he was thirsty. He even got on a boat with the disciples, went across the Sea of Galilee, and he fell asleep. He fell asleep while they were rowing. Or I think they were rowing. But while they were going across the Sea of Galilee, and at that point it's probably about 8 miles wide, 10 miles wide, he fell asleep in a storm. You've got to be very tired to fall asleep in a storm. I'm hoping Jezreel doesn't fall asleep on me right now with her head on her mum's shoulder. Sorry, Jezreel. To cope with the workload, he needed to take vacation. And that's what we all need. We all like a little break. We all like to get away. So what he did, he took the 12 disciples on a break to Caesarea Philippi, and it is in this chapter of chapter 16. It was a memorable occasion because there would be an outcome on this retreat. He chose it for special reasons. I'll give you a couple of clues. And first of all, his deity as part of the Godhead would be revealed to those disciples, and it would be confirmed. His plan to build the church where it would become known as Christianity, that was to be revealed as well and to be explained. So what he was doing, he was took this holiday, we call it a holiday, Americans call it vacation, but he took the disciples to prepare them for his approaching death. Nothing took Jesus Christ by surprise. Everything that happened in his life was meticulously prepared. It didn't happen by chance, and nothing happened by accident. His death on the cross, it was planned. It wasn't an accident. He was not a failure. It had to happen. The Almighty, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and the Lord Jesus himself, they talked about this in the corridors of eternity before time began. They had a plan that if everything went wrong on planet Earth with mankind and the devil, they had a plan. And it's a good plan. It's the gospel plan. So, all these answers we want to consider and look at today. So let's consider this. I still got this wretched cold. The public response to Jesus. Let's consider, where are we? Chapter 16. What gospel? Matthew's gospel. Read verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that the Son of Man am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some said Elias, and others Jeremiah, and one or one of the prophets. And I don't know if you've got Facebook, but you can see me doing this on Facebook. Mayette filmed me and she loaded it up and I was very happy. But he says this, he asked them a question, who do men say that the Son of Man am? And in answering the question to the disciples, the disciples answered the question, obviously. That's what he wanted. And this is quite interesting because they left out a couple of negatives. Oh, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but somewhere in the scriptures, Dominic might look it up. In fact, it's Matthew 11:19. But some used to insult Jesus, and they called him a glutton and a wine bibber. I don't know if you've ever heard of the word wine bibber, but if you said someone was a drunkard, it probably would fit the description. That right, David? You know, he used to hang out with people that liked to eat quite a bit of food and they liked to have a drink. I'm sure you've been down the pub at some point in your life and met people that like a drink. But Jesus liked to be with such people because he wanted to rub shoulders with the sinners. That's who we are, aren't we? I'm sure you've had a drink at some point in time. How about this? John 7:20, we understand that some people actually said to Jesus that he was demon-possessed. Can you believe that? How could a demon, he said, cast out these devils? Would the devil do that? No. But then he says that some thought that he was John the Baptist. Herod thought that about Jesus. They thought that Jesus, because he beheaded Jesus, and he thought Jesus had been, or John the Baptist had been resurrected from the dead. Why? Well, probably Jesus did not mince his words. Jesus went straight for the jugular. John the Baptist went straight for the jugular. And if you want to do some preaching or street preaching, you know, we have a lot of enemies. And I mentioned this over the recent weeks. There are giants in the land. Giants of false religion, giants of Islam, giants of atheism, giants of science. And what are you going to do? You've got to speak with authority. You've got to know what you know. You've got to believe what you believe. You've got to doubt what you doubt. And you've just got to speak the truth because people need to hear it. And, you know, we need to see Joshua. Didn't the walls of Jericho come tumbling down in the story or the account of Joshua? Well, there are many, many anti-Christian establishments in this world. And how will we see the walls of these anti-Christian establishments come tumbling down if we don't say something? Yeah? I think so. Jesus was strong in his preaching against sin, and so was John the Baptist. Some thought he was Elijah. Now, I find this interesting. Why did some people think he was Elijah? I tell you, when you study the Bible, the Old Testament, you come back and tell me, study it all you like. But please come back and tell me how many prophets actually did miracles in the Old Testament. I would love you to tell me. Because we know that God used Moses. This is very an interesting study. Moses went to Egypt and there was the 10 plagues of Egypt, weren't there? How many people, especially with this health and wealth false gospel of today, that people love to think that they got the power. Oh, got the power to do all sorts of things, right? Not many people had this power in the Old Testament. Moses had power because he had a staff and the Lord asked him to go to the Nile or do various other things. But these miracles happened. Who else? Elijah? But who else? Elisha and Elijah. But anyone else? Very few. And Joshua, the sun stood still. But we're less than 10 people. We're just a handful of people. You could count them like you can count the fingers on one hand. Very, very few people did miraculous things in the whole of the Old Testament. From Genesis to Malachi, how many thousand years, Margie? 4,000 years. That's astounding. I'm amazed to think that. So Elijah is mentioned. Some thought he was Elijah because of his miracles. And Jesus did many, many, many miracles that John would say, if all the things that were written about him were all the things that he did were written about him, you wouldn't have enough books in this world. He says that. John 20. What about his fearless rebuking of hypocrites in high places? Jesus was not ashamed to speak out against falsehood, especially with the Pharisees. Some thought he was Jeremiah. Why did they think he was Jeremiah? Well, Jeremiah was a very soft-hearted man, wasn't he? And when you know that Israel, Jerusalem, was going to be carried off into Babylon, and he wept, and he wept, and he wept. And we read of the Lord Jesus, didn't he weep? Wasn't he full of compassion for the lost? And that gives us an idea that some thought he was Jeremiah. Well, some thought he was maybe one of the other prophets. And I find this very helpful, because Dominic informed me yesterday that the Islamic religion is growing and growing and growing. Aren't they, Dominic?
They're the fastest growing religion in the world.
Should we be worried? Well, I'm not worried. Why? Because they just see the Lord Jesus as a prophet. That's a sad, sad thing. And what it tells me is, come on, church, let's do more evangelism. Yes? You know, though there be 10,000 on one side and 10,000, should we fear? Should we worry? Daniel lived in Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Babylon was an anti-Israelite religion. They hated it. God, but I'm going to say, God allowed the Israelites to be carried off. Why? Because of their disobedience. We should learn. History repeats itself. We should take note of this. And we should add every opportunity we have to serve the Lord. What with just a little bit of our strength, just a little bit of our mind, just a little bit of our soul? No. With all your strength, with all your mind, with all your soul, all your heart. He wants everything. We must give him our all. Let's move on to the next point, which is this. Peter responds, and you know the verse very well. Let's go to verse 15. He saith unto them, the Lord Jesus, that is, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Do you want to be blessed? You're going to have to dig in. You're going to have to dig into the Lord, because why he was blessed is because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of revelation, came upon him and told him who Jesus Christ is. Told him. I mean, we some people call him Jesus of Nazareth. Some people just say Jesus, probably Jesus the carpenter, the carpenter's son. But he is Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one. That is who he is. My name is John Gilbert. That's my name. Christ is not his surname. You know that, didn't you? Yeah? It's not his surname, Jan. It's his title. That's what it is, isn't it? So the Lord said to them, but whom say ye that I am? He was forcing them to come up with who he is. And sometimes he wants to probably force us as well about our faith. What is the substance of our faith? What do we know truly about Jesus Christ? He is the Christ. That's what Peter said. He didn't wait to say, he didn't say, look, Matthew, Luke, Thomas, Bartholomew, come on, let's have a... What do you think about him? Who do you think he is? Well, he's a good man. Well, you know. Hey, Peter did not have a debate with the other. He just said, you're the Christ. That's who you are. He didn't have a consensus with everybody else. He made his mind up. And God wants us to be like-minded. He wants people to come up with the goods and make a good decision. Can you do that? If you can't, let's have Bible studies and let's consider what God wants of us. There have been men like this in the past. People like Martin Luther. He was a Roman Catholic. Oh, back in the day, he was a monk in Wittenberg Church University. He was a lecturer in theology at Wittenberg University. Martin Luther, he was a Roman Catholic. He went on a pilgrimage to Rome. Rome! The what do we say? To a Roman Catholic, Rome was the capital of the Roman Catholic religion. And dear Martin Luther, on one occasion, he marched off on pilgrimage to Rome. And what did he see? Do you know what he saw? Shall I tell you what he saw? He saw illegitimate little children running around the streets. And he said to himself, who are these kids? Huh? Who are they? Do you know who they were? Shall I tell you? The priests who are not meant to marry, you know this, don't you? They was having relations with the nuns. Oh, shocking. Do you understand what I'm saying, Margie? Is that right or wrong? Well, if you're in a Roman Catholic religion, it's wrong. I was doing the business, and please forgive me if I come across as crude, rude, or what, but that's what was happening. Martin Luther was a man that was trying to deal with his sin. He was a man who used to get a whip, and he used to... Is they call it flagellation, isn't it, Dave? Ow, ow, ow! He would do this because he was trying to... mortify... Thank you, Jackie. He was trying to mortify his flesh. He didn't know how to get rid of his sin. He didn't know. He used to get a Hessian sack and put this sack on, and Hessian is very, very itchy. And he, no clothes on, he'd be trying to deal with his flesh. So why am I saying this about Martin Luther? His heart was in his religion, in the Catholic Church. And when he went to Rome and he saw what he saw, he said, I'm wasting my time. All these priests in Rome are getting off with the nuns and having all these babies. And there's me trying to mortify my flesh, and they're doing what they want. It broke his heart. So what did he do? Well, he knew how to read the scriptures. He actually translated the scriptures into German. That's what he did. He used to lecture on theology, probably on Hebrew and Greek, Dominic. And he, Dominic can do a Google. He was a very serious man.
More like Latin back then.
Probably right, Dom. But we're talking men of God, and they were like Peter. They weren't afraid to mince their words. And do you know what he did? He wrote 95 errors of the Roman Catholic Church. And he thought, let's sort Rome out. Let's reform the Roman Catholic Church. That's all he wanted to do. He wanted to remain a Catholic.
That was the day that Halloween, so Reformation Day, isn't
it? Is it?
Yeah.
I saw a sign in the supermarket saying Happy Halloween. I weren't happy with that.
So it was on the same day as Halloween, so it was Reformation Day. It's on the same day.
So they're trying to, like, overlook the Reformation. Right, so what am I going to say? Martin Luther, you have to give him credit and pat him on the back, right? Because he didn't not want to be a Catholic. He wanted to reform the Roman Catholic Church. But what the Pope done, they excommunicated him. And he had no choice but to start the Protestant Christian Church. And that's what we are today. We're Protestants, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're humble about it, aren't we? We're not proud. There are men like John Calvin, Charles Spurgeon. And I've been listening to this John MacArthur. There are men that don't mince their words. They speak it as it is, like Peter. So God, this is what I'm going to say. God was at work on Peter. God was at work on Peter's heart. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon you and he starts to convict you of your sin. You know, Peter did not just have a mental understanding of all the facts. God was at work on his heart. And what is important to God is that we become men and women of faith. Because the Bible says, the just, are we not the just, Jackie? And how shall the just live? By faith. The just shall live by faith. And that's what God wants us to do, just like Peter. And I'll ask you a question. Are you living by faith? Are you living by sight? No, we don't want to. But some people do, Nika. You have two choices. You either live by faith or you live by sight. And if you want to please God, you're going to have to walk by faith in this dark world.
Exactly. You want to see the miracles before they would believe, but it does not apply to us.
It's sad when those miracles don't appear to be real miracles. There's so much fake. I call it fake healer. I call it fakeanity. You might never have heard that word before because I never said it before. But it's true. There's so many fake people trying to do stuff in the name of Jesus. It's fake, fake, fake. Hello? Come on. Join the party. It's nice to cultivate your faith. And sometimes, and the Lord Jesus knew this, and in a way was trying to cultivate the faith of these disciples, and that's why he took them on a retreat. That's why we go to Keswick every so often, to cultivate our faith, don't we? With Jackie's guidance. So, do you just want to make a loud noise like many churches today? Some churches, they do, that's all they want to do. Rock it up, rip it up. And so let me move on to my last point, and that is this. What about our personal response to the Lord Jesus? 15. Oh, yeah, I've read that already. What about our... Oh, I've got it here. He saith unto them, but it's important, but whom, and King James... But whom say ye? That's you, and you. Who say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I could apply this to you this morning. Who? What about you? All of us. Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? And your response. It's very important because I said it earlier. When Peter gave the answer and he gave the correct answer, Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, right? Simon, blessed are you who became Peter. You know, we're all faced with the answer to this question to every one of us today. Because as I said, the Muslims... You could talk to every Muslim in Hemel Hempstead and every one of them will say to you today, Jesus is just a prophet. Isn't that right, Dominic? But we disagree with them, don't we, Nika? Because to us, he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'm going to tell you, Jackie and Michael and myself, we've known each other a good few years. Seems like a thousand years, you know. But they remember me when I was a young believer. We went to the same church, Bourne Valley Church. It's his, and Dominic, he was 7 years of age. He's going to be collecting his pension in a few years' time. We went to the same church for 6.5 years. I went there. And I still didn't understand who Jesus Christ was. How shocking is that? I used to sit there thinking about Jesus, Son of God. I knew he was Son of God, even from the Catholic Church. But I didn't understand he got in the flesh. That's why I read Philippians chapter 2. Though being equal with God, should we go back there? Philippians chapter 2, Dominic. It's incredible. Isn't it incredible that the one who created the heavens and the earth, yeah, the one who created it all, I can show you today. Look. First five. Ready? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Yeah? Watch this verse. Who, being in the form of God. Amazing. Jesus Christ is in the form of God. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The Bible is clearly telling us that Jesus Christ is God. Yeah, do you agree with me?
Yeah. Yes.
I've got three. There's about 15 of us. Camille's with me. I can see it on her face. What about everybody? It's clearly saying that the Lord Jesus is, and that's why when we had an outreach in the town a couple of weeks ago, I was saying, you know, to the people, why did people call Jesus Lord? Lord. Why? I mean, you might say to me, John, Alan Sugar's called Lord. Isn't he? And that's what they, but Alan Sugar is a businessman. And the Queen or Charles anointed him for some reason to be Lord Sugar. But he ain't Lord of heaven and earth. He hasn't risen from the dead. He might have risen from his bed, but not from the dead. All right? Jesus Christ, I read it in the Bible yesterday in Timothy. Jesus Christ abolished death. You don't get better than that. Amen. Muhammad Ali might have beat Joe Bugner in the 60s, but Jesus abolished death. That is why we can say he is God and he is Lord, isn't it?
We use the word Lord, same as this word Yahweh. It's literally the same as this word Yahweh in the old, so in the Greek Septuagint, they have the word Yahweh, and that's translated Lord. In the Old Testament.
It's astounding that Jesus is so humble about who he is that he said, it said there, he did not consider it to, he didn't want to be equal with God. He took the form of a servant. And that means everything to the Lord. He wants us to do exactly the same thing. Not lord it over one another, but to humble ourselves, to consider others to be more important than ourselves. Can we do that?
Well, sure we can.
I hope we can, Liam, because it would go well with us if we would do that. But let me say this to you. We are privileged people because we've been believing for a number of years. We haven't seen Jesus with our own eyes. We were not there at the Sea of Galilee, seeing him walking on the water. We were not there when he fed the 5,000. We were not there when he rebuked the wind and and the waves. But we haven't seen, but we believe. So he likes that. He knows that we haven't seen these things, so we walk by faith. And we like to say that, like with Peter, we say he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's wonderful. And I have to say, when you go out on the streets, or maybe you might do it at work or somewhere else, but it is terribly sad, isn't it? When Jesus came to this world that he created, he came to demonstrate, I said this to someone yesterday in the town, all he wanted to do was to show us how to love our neighbour as ourselves. That's what he came to do, to demonstrate the love of God. And what happened? This world, this is how evil this world is. They couldn't handle somebody showing the love of God that they had to crucify him out of jealousy. How sad is that? God came to this world, came to the world that he created, and the world killed him. It's very sad.
Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they came to believe.
Yeah, that's it. You are blessed today, people.
Much blessed than those who walk with Jesus and believe in Jesus and see his miracle.
And
therefore, we are much more blessed, because even though we have not seen those physical miracles, we're still here.
Yeah. Amen. It's wonderful. And we ought to pat one another on the back today. And we ought to encourage, let's say this also, encourage one another daily. Because we need each other's support. You know, some people shipwreck their faith. Some people fall by the wayside. It's that hard. We have to fight devils to stay in line with the Spirit of the Lord. You know? So our Lord's response to Peter's faith, I mean, I'll read it. Look at this. Verse 18:19. Wrong chapter. Wrong book. Matthew 16. It says this. And I say unto thee, this is a wonderful blessing. That thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That is great authority. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, and I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. In Jesus, we have great authority. You have to use it. You have to exercise it. You want to get on your hands and knees and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what is your will for my life that I can walk in it and do what pleases you? When we receive Christ, I'll say this again. When we receive Christ into our lives, we get in on his plan for our lives. You can live your own life selfishly, or you can live life for God. You will be blessed. As he blessed Peter with the word that he said, whatever you bind on earth, whatever you loose on earth, it will be done in heaven. That's an incredible blessing. So I ask you, as I finally finish, and you can go and have your cup of tea, what is your response to the Lord's question today? What's your response? I'll leave that with you. Amen. Lord, we do thank you, we do love you, we do adore you, Lord. We walk by faith, not by sight. We trust in you with all of our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength, Lord. To whom else can we go to? You have the words of eternal life. We love you dearly, Lord. We ask that you would fill our lives with the peace and the joy of heaven. And help us, Lord, I pray, each and every one of us, that we might walk in the Spirit, that we might fulfill your plans and purposes in our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us today. We meet at Grove Hill Community Center at 11:30 p.m. in Hemel Hempstead. God bless you.